Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Kernels. And dear listeners, those of you who have been with us for a while will know that here we try and keep things focused on what's going on set, or what's going on in the editing suite, or behind the desk that someone's writing at, and not try and get kind of, not let ourselves get distracted by what's going on Twitter. But sometimes these matters suck you in, and sometimes, though they seem so trivial, they actually, you know, they say a lot about the industry and the world and the moment we live in at the moment. And one such crazy one has happened this week. So I've been on holiday for a few days now in New Orleans, just trying to disengage from social media, which I'm sure a lot of you already try and do periodically, but if you don't, you definitely should give it a shot. I think it's a very important and healthy thing to do. But yeah, I've been trying to, you know, keep away from, it's not so much the communication element, it's just, you know, trying to not be bombarded by so much information and not get so emotionally invested in things that maybe aren't worth my time, one's time. But I guess I was scrolling through an app. Maybe I was going to post a photo or something quickly, but I see the words Mark Duplass and apologize. And I'm thinking, right at the top of a feed, I was like, that can't be good. We're talking about like a guy who's big within the indie circles, but is really, you know, a fairly small director, actor in the grand scheme of things, not a household name, not an A-lister. So what's he doing in, like, in the headlines? Like, something really bad has happened. Mark Duplass apologizes. Has he killed a man? Has he set fire to a small town? I couldn't resist. I should have known better. I should have clicked away and gone back to what I was doing, but I clicked. And it turns out, what has Mark Duplass done? He's recommended a right-leaning podcast. And that's what he's had to apologize for. And it's not surprising. It's more than it is. It's just exhausting. And looking into it, it went down pretty much as you could kind of see it going down. So let's just kind of look through the timeline of this and try and work out exactly what happened together and try and piece together some kind of conclusion or some sanity amid this latest supposed transgression in the internet discourse. So it started when Mark Duplass tweeted, and I'll read it in full. He wrote, "Fellow liberals," you see where he's going with this, like getting that in there right off the bat. "Fellow liberals, if you're interested at all in crossing the aisle, you should consider following Ben Shapiro. I don't agree with him on much, but he's a genuine person who once helped me for no other reason than to be nice. He doesn't bend the truth. His intentions are good." That was it. That was the tweet. It's something that 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, would have just passed unnoticed, unremarked on, but quickly became a huge, huge issue based on people's judgments of the guy in question, Ben Shapiro. Now, he's a conservative podcaster. I think he's one of the biggest conservative podcasters, and he's not someone I would recommend. When Duplass says that he doesn't bend the truth, I don't think that's true. I think he bends the truth frequently tries to mold it somewhat to fit his narrative. I actually listen to his podcast because, as a liberal myself, I think it is important to hear how events are going over on the other side of the aisle, as it were, and what version of events is being told there, and how people are responding to them, and how people are perhaps twisting them. So rather than just live in an MSNBC Guardian bubble, I try and take on this other content. And I kind of feel like the two pillars, certainly of the podcast community, if you're interested in US politics, and kind of why wouldn't you be at this moment in time, are Pod Save America and the Ben Shapiro Show. One taking the facts and twisting them in ways that fit their leftist narrative, and the other Shapiro is twisting them slightly to fit the conservative narrative. I would argue that the Pod Save America guys have, their hearts are more in the right place, but they are worse for twisting the truth, or rather avoiding certain parts of the truth and focusing on others and trying to kind of be performative and present the news, interpret the news, and form views based on what they think will make them popular and cool. I think they're worse at that than Shapiro, though he too for sure does. Even though he's been very critical of Trump, he still, I think, reads into... He's too willing to forgive Trump. Trump will do some awful, awful things, and he'll just be able to write them off as like, oh, it's just nonsense. You know, he's just saying words again. They don't mean anything. And I think words do matter, and that it's wrong that he's trying to kind of soften them for his listeners and try and make it seem as though these are okay things to do. But yeah, so I listened to both shows, and as such, I would probably recommend both shows, as Duplass kind of did. You know, and he was clearly aware that this might be an outcome, so he said, fellow liberals, if you're interested in crossing the aisle. So he said, I don't agree with him much. The thing he mentions about a genuine person that helped me out wants to be nice, I believe that was because he kind of asked him, Duplass was working on a project that, and he wanted to get a right-wing view on gun laws, so he spoke to Shapiro. I think that's how he got helped out. That's besides the point. But yeah, so he's tried to make every caution possible to say, I don't necessarily agree with this guy, I just think that maybe he does an okay job, and if you are gonna interested in crossing the aisle and are interested in hearing what's going on the kind of populist right-wing side of things, maybe check him out instead of Fox News. And that seems like a kind of a fair enough thing to do. And yet, detractors were apoplectic about it. Unsurprisingly, Mark deleted the tweet, and who could blame him? Perhaps it should have ended there. But that doesn't stop your mentions filling up with people telling you you're a racist, you're homophobic, etc., just because you said that someone should maybe check out a podcast. And so inevitably, not long after, came the Twitter apology, the screen grab of the statement, which are always kind of hilarious and obviously disingenuous and so gushing that they just read bizarre. But I'll read it in full. So he wrote, so that tweet was a disaster on many levels. I want to be clear that I in no way endorse hatred, racism, homophobia, xenophobia, or any such form of intolerance. My goal has always been to spread unity, understanding, and kindness, but I'm going to make mistakes along the way. Sometimes I move too quickly when I get excited or fail to do enough research, or I don't communicate myself clearly. I'm really sorry. I now understand that I need to be more diligent and careful. I'm working on that, but I do believe deeply in bipartisan understanding, and I will continue to do my best to promote peace and decency in this world right now. That said, I hear you, and I want to say thank you to those who reached out with constructive criticism. I've genuinely learned so much and wish everyone all the best. Mark Duplass. Now, that apology sounds like one we've heard a lot of times the last few years, and for a lot more serious crimes. And I always think it's funny how these people kind of present themselves like they're... When they wrote the offending tweet, they were a toddler just kind of stumbling through life, not really knowing what they were doing. You know, Duplass says, I now understand that I need to be more diligent and careful, as if, you know, before he was just this thoughtless guy and he's had this huge lesson overnight. You know, he's obviously a smart dude. Maybe he didn't do all of the research ever on Ben Shapiro before he did that, tweeted that recommendation, but when can you ever fully know the complete measure of a person, know their entire back catalogue of thought, everything they wrote and wrote since they were 12 years old? And the fact is that, yeah, Shapiro has said some pretty nasty stuff, but mostly over a decade ago and when he was a teenager, and stuff that he's since taken back. And maybe that's not excusable, but that's for the listener to make up their own mind, you know. Just because Mark Duplass has tweeted something doesn't mean everyone is suddenly going to think this guy that he's recommending is a saint, you know. People are capable of making up their own minds. So anyway, Duplass tweeted that statement, And when I saw it, you know, my initial thought was a slight disappointment, you know, thinking, oh, did he really have to do that, you know? If you are going to make an effort to try and reach across the aisle and say, I think people who disagree with me, I think that the fact that they hold opinions is a valid thing. If you're gonna do that, which it's crazy to think is a difficult thing to do these days, you kind of got to stand by it, haven't you, really? You've got to own it and be prepared for some flack to come with it. So to turn around and then issue a full apology and kind of baby yourself with this statement saying, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, it's just, it's a bit of a shame, really. But whenever I often have that initial reaction when I see someone apologize for something I don't think they really need to apologize for, but then I just remember how awful it is to have to face any kind of internet vitriol, you know. I've been very fortunate to only experience a tiny bit of it, you know, from the odd piece or the odd review where people think you've got it dead wrong, and maybe sometimes they're a bit mean about it and you have to try and kind of keep a thick skin and remind yourself that, you know, for every couple of negative comments you might get, there are, you know, hopefully the silent hundreds, thousands, whatever, that just read it and enjoy it and are probably less likely to comment, because people tend to want to actually take the time to leave words when they're feeling angry than when they're just feeling like pleased. But it's not nice when you've got someone shouting at you from behind an avatar. And I can only imagine what it's like when they're coming in every second after second, people accusing you of being a racist. You've got your agents calling you on, and you're half of Hollywood, and you're thinking, shit, is my career over? Like, that was a very possible outcome. And I'm sure before writing this, he was like, I really don't want to do it. But then it slowly dawned on him, and from other recommendations from publicists, etc., that it has to happen, it has to be done. And so that statement went out into the world. And the whole thing played on my mind for the rest of the day when I after I read about it, and I'd been taken from a world of cycling around town in New Orleans, eating oysters, drinking beers, and then suddenly I'd been brought back into reading blogs, reading Vox pieces about why this matters. And it just got me thinking, and not for the first time certainly, of what a scary world we live in now, where only one kind of ideology is acceptable. You know, and I'm fortunate that I am a liberal, and my thought the vast majority of the time does side with Democrats, because otherwise I don't know if it would even be possible to carve out a trade in this industry. And it's funny that Hollywood has become the absolute worst for it, you know, because it's the place more than any other where you need to be able to have a freedom of opinion, a freedom of thought, and to not think that someone is a lesser human being because they don't feel the same way as you. You know, if the industrial lubricants industry was characterized by these kind of crazy tweets and then recanting of tweets and then subsequent apologies for tweets, it would all matter somewhat less, because ultimately at the end of the day everyone would just be dealing with empirical and quantities. But, you know, we're talking about the creation of film and TV here, and the idea that within that there shouldn't be different voices and different opinions is so, so troubling. And just what does it mean to be so enraged by an indie film director recommending a podcast? Just like, everyone needs to take a step back and think, just where are we right now? Like, what is going on? Everyone is able to make up their own minds and take or reject recommendations, and people are allowed to make mistakes. Maybe Mark Duplass shouldn't have recommended him. I'd take quite an active interest in the relationship between left and right wing podcasters and journalists, and I think from what I can see that Ben Shapiro is quite good at accepting liberals for what they believe and trying to cross the aisle in some respects. He does with more dignity than a lot of people on the left do, even though I still maintain that I think a lot of his views are awful and a lot of the way he can twist the news in his podcast is quite damaging. So just saying that this guy, I don't believe in what he says, but he seems like an all right guy in terms of trying to bridge some kind of gap and have a conversation with someone and see see what they think, what you think, and try and make some kind of assessment there and work out how we move forward together as a people. That seems like a fair enough thing to me to say. You know, it's so strange to live as a liberal in 2018, and, you know, I feel like I wanna embrace everyone, you know, people I agree with, people I don't agree with. I wanna hear them out, I wanna talk to them, I wanna get to know them, I wanna reject some of the things they say, and I wanna welcome others. And I don't see myself in this other form of liberalism where people who dissent from your frame of mind are essentially criminals or should be devalued as humans, should have their job stripped from them, either by force or just by leading other followers away from them so they can no longer ply a trade. It just seems authoritarian and right-wing to me, and it's so at odds. And every time one of these little events happen, and these Duplass things, and they happen on at least a weekly basis, you wonder when it's going to be the last one or the most extreme one, but they just seem to get more ridiculous. You know, this latest one is a very, very cautious, carefully worded suggestion that you might want to listen to a podcast of someone with a very different mindset if you're just interested in getting to know them. And if that constitutes a witch burning, then we're screwed for art for the next few years, because we're going to restrict ourselves to the kind of people we work with. We're going to work with a limited number of people who feel the same way, and art's going to conform to a certain set of beliefs. And it's not anger I feel over this situation, one of many. It's just exhaustion, man. But perhaps the only solace we can take is that there must be, I don't know if it's a silent majority, maybe it is a minority, but there is a vast group of people out there, I know, like myself, who think that people don't deserve to be thrown under the bus for making mistakes, whether that mistake's making a ill-advised tweet recommendation or saying some awful things when you were a teenager that you've since decided were wrong because you've grown up. I know there are other liberals out there like me who still want to talk to and have friendships with people on the other side of the aisle. And I guess it's just about how do we get those people together. It's just a lack of confidence. Everyone's scared. No one's willing to put their name to anything that understandably they're not willing, because it might jeopardize their friendships or their career or their clout. And this is going to be the biggest struggle for us going forward, I think, as for America and as for a larger, for a people, for the world. You know, this idea of conforming to a set of views and the idea of it being a performance because you do it because this is how you want to be perceived and you want to fit in with these cliques of people. If we all start putting fashion or our careers above truth and above what we really think and how we really want to respect other people, then this is the issue we've got to get over. You know, if the last few years the problem to civil society and democracy has been fake news, the next problem over the next few years we need to think about is fake views. Right, I'm going to switch the internet back off now and try and re-engage with the semblance of real life we can find in the world out there. And I hope when I turn it back on, we will have finally found a way to love each other a little bit more and forgive each other a little bit more and not be at each other's throats all the time. It's been a slightly unorthodox kernels, but I think this all feeds into a larger conversation about film and is going to affect a lot of the output we see from Hollywood in the next few years, which is something I'm sure we will discuss in the podcast more. All right, thanks so much for listening. Reach out if you have any thoughts, and I'll speak to you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.